Jesus was in a cemetery, and a woman said to him, "My brother's dead." And Jesus replied to her, he said, "I am the resurrection, and I am the life." In other words, what he told her was, "I decide what lives and what dies. It's not dead till I say it's dead. And if it looks dead, I can call life to inside of it. I don't know what you came in here with today, but I want you to know this. We serve a resurrected Savior that can bring something to life inside of you this very morning. A situation, a family member, whatever it is. Our God can restore it to life." See, I think the reason why some of you are celebrating and clapping and ready to run around and shout is because you've been resurrected. You know what it's like to be brought up. Why don't you give the Lord one good shout of praise this morning? Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We honor you this morning. Lord, I believe that you're breathing life back into people even as we speak. You're breathing life into situations that we thought were dead. The enemy has lied to us and said it's over, it's not for us, but today we're going to hear from the resurrected life of Jesus Christ through the Word of God. Lord, pour out your Spirit on us today. We honor you. We say, have your way in this place through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you as you're seated this morning. Thank you so much for being here. Put a smile on your face, even if you have to fake it for a little while. I don't think you'll be faking it this morning. We want to welcome you to Life Point Church. And I'm glad you're here this morning. Are you glad you're here? Amen. Thank you for being here. We want to welcome you. If you're a guest or visitor this morning, we especially want to welcome you and tell you that in the seat back in front of you or the chair behind you, there's a visitor's card. We would love if you would fill that out for us and put it in the offering bag when it comes by. We would appreciate that. And just tell you that there are some really cool things going on around here right now, this week, today. It's already started our vacation Bible school. Miss Lisa and her team have been flipping this place around and getting ready. And today at 3 o'clock, they're asking for volunteers, those of you that have been helping, if you'd like to come at 3 o'clock today to finish really decorating the place as we set up for Vacation Bible School, which begins tomorrow from 6:30 to 8:30. That runs 5 days through August the 3rd. And listen, just so you know, Wednesday night we'll not be having our regular Bible study in here. We're going to have VBS in here, so you're still welcome to come. I think for all of us, you know, it's a great time for us to serve, and it's a great time for us to help the next generation. So you're more than welcome to be here anytime to help us out with that. And thank you for the team. It's Rome is our theme this year, so when you come, be expecting, amen? And we're excited about that. Also, open house is tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. We're going to run that through the conference room. That's the first room on the left at 7 o'clock. That's open house for the Bible Institute. Anyone who signed up for the Bible school or is really thinking about it, I would encourage you to come on, get the information about the Bible school that's here on Monday nights. Also, we have our men's Bible study breakfast Saturday, August the 4th at 8:30. And we have our nursing home ministry. How many of you have been out to the nursing home ministry? Let me tell you. Let me encourage you to sign up for that. That's really cool. Sunday, August the 5th. The nursing home ministry, I'll say it like this. This like you go to the nursing home and you just see people that you almost think they're almost like a forgotten people. They're just living in a home. And I understand that things happen and we have to, you know, put people to get care. But, man, it's a great opportunity to reach out and shake some people's hands and just love on them and sing. I was out there last month, I think, and I didn't sing, though. I just don't really do that too much, but John was handling the singing, and But we could use you there, you know what I'm saying, just to hug someone and tell them God loves them. Also, the 11th of August is the homeless outreach. And I would, like I said, that's just another opportunity for you to get involved with helping reach people here in Broward County. The team, they come here on Friday night, prepare them meals. I think last month there were like 80 homeless people. They came, got showered, had three meals and heard the word of God. And, man, just those people were so excited just to eat. It was nuts, man. So I just encourage you to get plugged in. And finally, we're going to announce this week, Saturday, August the 18th. We're having a block party outreach. Are you ready for this? It's going to be right across the street at Kingsley Commons. Okay, we had a little meeting Wednesday night for people wanting to get involved. We're going to have another one soon. We want you to be a part of this. Our church is going to be, boom, right next door. There's 200 units over there, and we've been given the go-ahead by those people to set up on their property, to use their community center, basically to reach out. We are right across the street. We are their neighbor. Are you with me? I'm telling you. And when we all come together on August the 18th, go ahead and put on your calendar, we're going to win some people for Christ that day. And we're going to show the community that we love them, and we're just going to serve them, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So put that on your calendar, and I would expect to see you out there for that. And finally, we have some guests with us today, okay? Pastors Keith and Joy Conley are here. That's my pastor. And from Harvest Church in Lakeland. Let me tell you, they're going to be sharing with us this morning through this whole transition. I mean, this has been a journey, right? We've talked about it some, and this started back in January. And we came down and prayed and, you know, met with the search committee, met with the church, and finally got our family moved in. You know, I drove down here for 2 months, right? All the way down that turnpike, you know what I'm saying? Oh, my goodness. But God was doing something. God was doing something here at this church. God's doing something in Sunrise. God's doing something in Broward County. I mean, this is a big picture here. It's not just us here on Sunday. And we just were working to a place where we could have an official service to say, you know, where the pastors are here. And we worked with the district, Penn Florida District, to try to get someone from the district in. Usually they would do a service like that. But I'm glad it didn't work out, okay? Now I'm going to tell you why. Because we get to have our pastors come. And I'm going to tell you, that is a huge blessing for me and my wife. And because, I mean, you got to think about it. Not only was this our pastor, but this is our former employer, okay? I mean, in a sense. So think about it like this. You know, our former employer gets to be a part of the new transition. And in the ministry, that's a huge thing. And it's a huge blessing to have that and to have that blessing. And so their family's going to be ministering here today. Pastor Keith will be here. And so we're excited to have them. Amen. And all of our friends from Lakeland, too, are here. Some of our friends. Actually, I didn't even know we had this many friends. So I'm actually excited. There's way more than I thought we had. So. But listen, let me just say from Sydney and myself, and we've said it a couple of times, but you know we're excited to be here, and I'm going to say it real plain and clear. This is where God called my family, and so that gives me all the peace and comfort that I need to know, and so we're excited for what God's doing. God's already doing stuff, amen. And you guys have seen it and been a part of it, But we're totally excited for what's happening. So anyway, I'm going to ask the ushers to come on down, and I'm excited about the offering today. Hope I'm not the only one, but anyway, I would just ask you to be faithful. How many of you know God's been good to you? Every area of our life, man, we are living testimonies. Father, we thank you once again for your faithfulness, God, and your Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us into all truth, God. And as we prepare our hearts to give, I pray, God, that you would help us. Bless this offering, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you as you give. Well, I'm going to go ahead and invite Pastor Keith and Joy to come on up. Miss Joy, I think Miss Joy may stay down. I don't know. I just want everybody to see you. Pastors Keith and Joy Conley from Harvest Church in Lakeland, Florida.
Well, it is an honor to be here today, and I don't know if I could even say anything without crying, because you guys, you are on the receiving end, but we're on the leaving end. And so it has just, you know, it's been a heart wrencher for me. But in the ministry, it's such a blessing to see the fruit of your labor and to see someone that's co-labored with you in Christ move to another situation where they can impact thousands and thousands of people. And that's what we know is going to happen through the ministry of Pastor Robbie and Sydney. You guys are just getting to know them, and you think you're blessed. You have no idea how blessed you really are. God is going to use this couple to impact this community, because what I love about both of them are that they're Teen Challenge graduates, and they know what it is to know the transformation power of God. And when you've got that sense of transforming power, when you know what God has done in your life, there is no need too great in your family members that they will not stand in the gap for you. There is no need too great in this community that they will not stand in the gap and be in the trenches with you to reach the lost. So I know my husband's ready for me to take, for him to take this microphone, because I can preach. But I love you all. I'm so thankful for what God is doing here, and you are blessed. Amen.
Amen. How many know God's good? How many know God's been good to you? Amen. You know, church is a weird animal. How many been in the church for a long time? Anybody been in the church for more than 50 years? Got a few. Very good. They'll tell you church is a weird thing. There's nothing like it in all of the world. The church is different. The thing that makes the church so different is that church is dependent on volunteers. And that's part of what has to take place for a church to really accomplish what God wants the church to accomplish, is you have to voluntarily submit yourself to a pastor that you just met. And then at the same time, the pastor has to voluntarily submit to you. People that he might not even know yet. And there's just nothing like that. There's just nowhere that you go and you find that. The thing about church is that when it's done right, there is nothing more spectacular. And when it's done wrong, there's no bigger train wreck on the planet. And so do it right, amen? Submit to each other in the fear of the Lord, and let God do his thing. What makes church work is forgiveness. Everybody wants to be forgiven. Everybody wants somebody to cut them some slack. But there's a lot of times that folks don't want to cut somebody else some slack. And so church is a little bit of a different animal. One of the things about church that makes church so different is, and I'm going to get into this more in a little bit, is the fact that a pastor is not an employee, even though he is an employee. A pastor is an individual that is called by God. Oh, I don't need those, sis. I'm old. I'm old. And a pastor is an individual that's called by God. If a pastor was an employee, then he would be a hireling. And you don't want a hireling as a pastor. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Now, right now, we're going to start looking at who is this man. Because, this is a new relationship. This thing is a few months old. Robbie is from Alabama. Right? How many people from Alabama do we have? Not a one. See that? All right. How about New York? Anybody from New York? Oh, Sid, you're in good company. All right. But we're going to start off in Ezekiel chapter 33, and we're going to talk about the pastor as the watchman, the pastor as the shepherd, and the pastor as the trainer. The pastor as the trainer. And when we get there, we'll be in Ephesians chapter 4. But right now, we're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 33 and chapter 34. Now, we're going to start with verse number 1 of Ezekiel 33. And this is one of my favorite passages. As a pastor, I read chapter 33 and 34 quite a bit in the book of Ezekiel, because I like to make sure that I am focused on what I am supposed to be focused on as the lead pastor. And so he says this, "Again, the word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel, son of man, speak to the children of your people, say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land," in other words, when issues arise, "and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes away his life, his blood is on his own hands. He heard the sound of the trumpet. He did not take warning. The blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life." How many are with me on that? Right? He will save his life. Now, it's an important thing that we save our lives. Right? And how many know that we need help? How many know, have you ever been in a situation in life and you realize that something in that situation had blinded you to what maybe was obvious, and that there needs to be that somebody that can speak a word of life to you, can blow the trumpet for you in your situation so that you don't have loss in your experience in life? Now, the church, being the strange animal that it is, how many know the church not that many years ago was killing people? Right? I mean, the church was killing people. We call that the Dark Ages. And the reason it's called the Dark Ages is because the church had gone off of the tracks. They had lost their focus, and the watchman that should have been on the wall sounding the alarm, trying to help people to understand that things were not the way they were supposed to be, were just not there. They weren't there. Watchmen are very important. They're very important to your family. I tell people, I've only been married one time, and I've been married to the same woman for 36 years. Anybody been married longer than 36? Anybody been married more than 50? Oh, we have a 50 over here. Oh, a couple. Oh, my goodness. Beautiful. We like that, right? My goal is to get way, way up there, unless the Lord comes back, which will be all right with me, okay? But it's kind of a situation where we need people to help us. Now, I've only been married one time, but I have been through thousands of relationships. How many know that when you've been through thousands of relationships, you might learn something that might help somebody else? And so as the watchman on the wall, part of our job as pastors is to help people to avoid the calamities that life can bring. Sometimes young people, and it happens to older people as well, will start dating somebody that just isn't quite right. Right? just isn't quite right. Well, the watchman on the wall is the one that is going to voluntarily stick their neck out and try to help you to reevaluate maybe that relationship that you find yourself in. And then you have to do something on your side. You have to voluntarily listen and weigh what is said and then make a decision. You see, there's a lot of people that won't do that because they're afraid of the outcome. So you have to voluntarily, somebody say volunteer. You have to voluntarily listen to what's said so that the wisdom that can be shared from years of doing work. And let me tell you, Pastor Rob and Pastor Sid are not afraid of work. How many know that this morning Pastor Rob was in the ceiling? How many knew that? Nobody knew that. Why did he do that? He doesn't get paid to do that, right? If you look at the essence of a job description, but there's something about the call, the pastorate, the experience, the hard work that just helps us pastors do stuff that we just have to do. Pastor Robbie's the kind of guy, Pastor Sid as well, if there's something needs to be done, they're going to do it. The reason I hired Robbie and Sydney to start with wasn't because Sydney was the best children's pastor in the state of Florida. It wasn't because Rob was the best children's pastor, youth pastor, associate pastor, and all the other hats that he wore over the last 12 years. You know why, Meriden's? Because Rob was a framing, framing carpenter, yeah. He was a framing carpenter. And there's a couple of things that I've understood over the years. And that is, if you know how to build a house, you can build about anything. You can build a family because you understand that for a family to withstand the pressures of this generation, there has to be a foundation that is amazing. You can't build a building larger than the foundation that the building is built upon without a lot of engineering. And so there's a lot of stuff that Robbie is going to do as the watchman on the wall. There are so many things that he is going to do voluntarily. He's going to climb up in the roof and fix the issue, discover it, fix it, get the right people in, get this thing taken care of. We've got people coming in for church. And if I hadn't have told you that, guess what? You would never know it. The reality is that there's going to be things that the watchman on the wall is going to see that you will never see. I'm cursed with the eye. When I walk into a room, I see everything that is wrong, right? And Rob's got it too. And where did our cat eyes go? Are they there? They're not there right now. This bottle was sitting in the perfect spot. Did anybody see the cat eyes on the screen? All right? And so the bottle was in the perfect spot to be the little deal in a cat's eye. I mean, it was just perfect. It was just too good, you know? I notice all that. Well, the reality is that pastors generally will notice things that other people don't notice. And so every time you come in, things are looking good, right? They're clean, they're put together, things are presented well. That is what happens when you are the watchman on the wall. You help people in so many ways, and many times they don't even recognize that you just helped them. The watchman on the wall. The next one that I want to look at is the shepherd. Now, Ezekiel deals with two types of shepherds. Number one is a false shepherd. He deals with the false shepherd. And this is what he says about the false shepherd. The false shepherd is all about themselves. It's all about me, baby, right? It's all about me. I got to look good, right? And that is the way a false shepherd will think. It's all about me. Everything's got to be about me. The reason that I planted harvest was, number one, God made me, and he will do that. Number two is because I realized as a youth pastor that I would never be able to really find a pastor that would have the same emphasis on children's ministries and young people ministries that I wanted to have. And so I started the church, and God really had to spank me a little bit to get me there, but he did get me there. And we started the church. It's been amazing, but it wasn't about me. It was about the young people. And that's one of the reasons that we put emphasis on young people ministries at Harvest Church in Lakeland. We want our kids to not leave the church and go out into the world and sow what we used to call, where I come from, sowing those wild seeds, right? And getting their lives all messed up. And then when they hit like 30, 35, come back to the church all wounded and beat up. That is not the goal. A false shepherd is an individual that he just like doesn't care. He doesn't care. It's all about me. Just give me, give me, give me, give me. But then there is the true shepherd. The true shepherd cares about all of the flock of God. Starts with the baby nursery. The youngest infant in the church is vitally important to a true pastor. Right? At my church, I have a ministry called the M&M Ministry. And the kids, if Gunner was in here, he would tell you about the M&M ministry, and Sadie Ray the same. And I like for the kids to come into my office, and I have little cups of M&Ms, and they're set up there, and the kids come in, I get little hugs and give them some M&Ms or Skittles. I might have to change the name to the Skittles ministry because the Skittles are hotter than the M&Ms right now. So we may have to change that. But the kids come in, and the reason I do that is because I want to pastor the children, right? I want the kids to know me. I want to know them. And on top of that, how many know that kids will always tell you the truth? And they'll tell you some stuff when they come in for M&Ms too. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. But it's amazing what mom and dads don't know their kids tell the pastor. Amen. But, you know, the M&M ministry, it's all about being a true shepherd that cares about the youngest infant in the nursery and the most senior of the seniors, that they are all vitally important to a true shepherd. A true shepherd is one that wants to continually give, and the goal is always the same, and that is to watch people grow. To watch people grow. So we're not the same as we used to be. The true shepherd is an individual that wants people to experience the absolute best that God has for them. Some years ago, I was preaching in Moldova, and the people there were very stern in their expressions. How many know that as the church, right, that we ought to be smiling? How many think a smile is a great testimony? How many know that a frown is not, don't do that, right? Takes too much energy to have a frown. They say it takes a bunch more energy to frown than it does to smile. So be a smiler, right? Be a smiler. Be an individual that's willing to experience change in your life. I told the people as I was preaching in Moldova and Romania across through there, and I mean, they preach you to death over there, and I'm preaching, and it's like God would move, but the people's facial expressions would never change. The reason for that, and I understood the reason was that they, you know, were a communist satellite state, all that stuff, and they bottom line, they couldn't trust anybody because they would plant spies in the churches and every place else, and it was just a real mess, and I understood where the people were coming from, but I also wanted the people to understand that this is a new day for them. And so I preached a message, and it was called The Gospel of a Smiling Face. And you'd be amazed, the people started to smile. The attitude of the church, I heard later on, had changed because the people had started smiling at each other. You see, whenever we experience the change that God has for us, right, because the watchman's on the wall and he's doing his job, because the shepherd is doing his job, the true shepherd, he's loving the sheep and he's giving his life for the sheep the way a true shepherd will do, it brings about a change that sometimes is easy to recognize, but it's hard to understand. How did we get here? How did we get here? Sometimes in my own experience, I look back, I say, how did we get here? And then I begin to understand in Ephesians chapter 4 that God is always working his plan. And how many know that God uses us, right? How many know that in the church there is no parishioner pastor? Right? This may be a new concept for you. I don't know. But in reality, the church is this. We're all ministers. Every single one of us are ministers. We all have special giftings. We all have a special anointing on our lives, all of us together. Now, we have different offices, and Pastor Rob and Pastor Sid here, you know, they're like the lead pastors. They're getting vision, setting direction. I hope you follow them well and encourage them well. But all of that is happening because God is doing something to change this community. And he changes the community by changing our lives so that we're not all about ourselves. Right? So that we give when we have the opportunity to give, because we understand that there's a much larger picture. And that much larger picture is the people across the road that you're going to be reaching, and the homeless that you're going to be reaching. And, you know, the philosophy of our church back in Lakeland is to keep the church outside of the church house. Because we can spend some time in church, and we can think we're all right, and the rest of the world goes to hell, and we're content with that. Don't be content with that. In Ephesians chapter 4, we get another picture of the pastor as the trainer, the pastor as the trainer. This is what he says in Ephesians chapter 4, and by the way, this is the job description in the New Testament for every pastor. This right here is it. And I do a lot of coaching. I've coached just a ton of churches. Anyway, I start off my first meeting with the pastor, and I ask him the question, what is your job description? And you know what? The vast, vast, vast majority cannot tell me what their job description is. And so I take him to Ephesians 4, where we're at right now, beginning with verse number 11. It says, and he himself, God himself, gave some to be apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastor teachers. And then he tells us what we are supposed to do. These are the offices. This is what it looks like. And this is what will make this church absolutely filled to capacity to the place that you can't even begin to imagine. It says it's for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Somebody say work. Somebody touch your neighbor, say work. How many know work is work?
Yeah.
How many know that work can be hard? Vacation Bible School's coming up, right? And there's going to be some work done around here today because this whole building is going to be transformed into Rome. Is that what I'm understanding? How crazy is that, right? Man, you guys are going to have a time this week. It's exciting, right? But it takes work. Somebody has to provide the vision. Somebody has to provide energy. There's got to be some hands on deck. And we have to learn that ministry is work. The work of the ministry, right? And then he says this, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the building up of the body of Christ. We want the body of Christ to be awesome, right? It should be awesome. It should be what sets the tone for every decision that's made in America today. It's not. And part of that's because the church, I think, has been asleep for about the last 50 years. And it's time for the church to wake up, right? Time to get out of bed when the alarm clock goes off, right? Don't hit the snooze button. Get up and get after it for God. A Christian ought to be the best employee in the company. You ought to have the best testimony in your company. People ought to know that you are a Christian by the way that you work and by the way that you love. They'll know we're Christians by the way that we have love one toward another. They'll know we're Christians whenever we see that individual at work that is hurting and we take them and love on them and put time into them, right? And this is what he says, the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of the faith, right? Unity means we're like all moving in the same direction. So important. Everybody kind of knows where we're going. What's it all about? Well, it's all about winning people to Christ, right? It's all about discipling people so that we become more like Jesus every single day of our lives, right? So we want to come into the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, so that we're here, we're being taught, we're learning, we're receiving, because Pastor Robbie's going to voluntarily give the word, and you have to voluntarily receive the word. That's exactly right. You take it, you hide it in your heart, right? That you might not sin against God. Because how many know the end of sin is always the same? And that is destruction. And we don't want you or your family to experience destruction. So we have to receive the word. We hear it, we receive it, and we implement it, right? Put it into action, right? So we all come, the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, mature individual in Christ. So you're not a part of the roller coaster crowd, right? The elevator crowd, up and down, up and down, up and down. We grow. We stay consistent. You ever known somebody that one time you talk to him, hey, how you? Oh, I'm awesome, man. What a day. Oh, it's amazing. And then the next time you talk to him, oh, this is the worst day I've ever had in my life. It's just horrible. Had a flat tire on my BMW. Right? I'm going to know what I'm talking about. And so you get to the place where it's like, do I want to try to talk to them today? Are they going to be in a good mood? Or are they going to be in a bad mood? And see, we need to be more consistent than that, right? We need to have an upward angle, but it just needs to continue to grow. Don't get into this stuff, right? And it doesn't work out really well anyway. So we want to mature. We want you to mature. How many want your kids to mature? Right? And if they don't, you're in big trouble, right? And so he wants us to mature, to come to be a perfect individual, a mature individual to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Because the bottom line is this, that God wants to change you into the image of Jesus. And he uses these pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets and apostles to make that happen. So that when people look at us, right, they see Jesus. The world needs to see Jesus. And the world will see Jesus through your smiling face. It's good stuff. That we no longer be children. Right? Tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men. That's the reason you need a pastor that's not a hireling. A pastor that whenever they see things that are taking place that aren't right, are willing to confront those situations for the good of the body of Christ and for the good of the individual that may have been taken captive by the enemy. Right? It's important. So many things that are coming into the church regularly. So many doctrines that on the surface seem to be okay, but when you get a little deeper, you begin to realize that there's things that just are not right. Recently, I saw a video of a church that starts it off with two songs from the top 40 played on the radio. That's how they start their worship service. Can I just say, that doesn't work. Fresh water and salt water does not come out of the same spring. And we have to kind of understand that that God deserves our best, right? Our absolute best. God, I want to say it one more time because I don't think you heard me. God deserves our best. So don't let this stuff that blows in blow you around. Stay firm. Follow the teaching of the pastor as he teaches the Word of God. Now, if he stops teaching the Word of God, then don't follow him. Okay? But if he's preaching the Word, do the Word of God. We don't want to be tossed to and fro, right? And deal with the trickery of men. There are individuals that I'm telling you, there's wolves in sheep's clothing. And sometimes we just have to deal with those folks. And then he says this, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, they're working something to bring somebody down. We need a pastor. We need a shepherd. We need a watchman that's going to step up and take care of business. When business needs to be taken care of, they take care of business, right? When the going gets tough, the tough get going. That's exactly right. You guys got to respond a little better. Okay? You got to help me preach. All right? And so verse 15, he says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Jesus. And so we're growing into Jesus. Understand that. What is God's goal? God's goal is that you look, act, think, and smell like Jesus. I don't know how Jesus smelled, but that fit pretty good. All right? That's what God wants you to be. Jesus to this culture today, wherever you are, Jesus to your family, Jesus to your children, Jesus to this community, everywhere you go, you are Jesus there. And then he goes on and says in verse 16, from whom the whole body, right? How many's with me? How many's part of the body? Come on, somebody, right? How many's part of the body? And we're joined and knit together. We're sewn together by what every joint supplies, because what I said earlier, I want to say again, every one of you have beautiful gifts. Every one of you have beautiful anointings. And when you find your place in the body of Christ, it is good. It is so good, right? And so find your place. Figure this thing out. Get where you're supposed to be, and let's get this thing going for the glory of God. Amen? And so according to the effective working by which every part does its share, right? This isn't a one-man show. This isn't a one-woman show. This isn't a one-couple show. This is our show. And we all have to be doing what God has called us to do. And every part does its share. And listen to this now. And that is what causes growth of the body. That's growth in maturity, right? And that's growth numerically. How many know that God wants to save all of Broward County? Right? That's the reality. God's not willing that any would perish, but all would come to repentance. That's the goal of God. God wants you to be a part of what is taking place. And he says this, he causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. It builds itself up in love. You know, we need to have a love contest where we just love each other. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to outlove you today. I'm going to outlove you today, right? I'm going to give. I'm going to help. I'm going to compliment, right? How many know that everybody needs somebody to pat them on the back and say, you're doing good, right? How many know that's important? Be that person. Be that person. And when somebody wants to pat you on the back, you just say, thank you so much, right? Don't come up with some crazy excuse thing. Just say, thank you. Let's all practice. Ready? Thank you. Oh, you guys have got it already. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to invite Pastor Robinson to come stand right here in the front. And then right after they get in place, I want to invite all the board members to come. Amen. And we're going to pray over Pastor Rob in this installation service. And we're just going to, man, this is good, isn't it? Is anybody as excited as I am about what God's going to do in this church? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And if you're a part of the church, which we all are, I want to invite you, if you'd like to come and stand in behind these folks, and we're going to pray for them. Let's all stand together across the building right now. Praise the Lord. What a blessing it is. I'll tell you, you're a blessed congregation. And I want you to realize that God has given you a special gift. Somebody asked me one time, they said, you must think you're God's gift to the church. And I said, well, as a matter of fact, I am. And it's in the Bible. Pastor Rob is a gift. Pastor Sid is a gift. This is a blessing. These people, they're awesome. They're the dynamic duo of ministry. There's several of them I know, and these guys are at the top. I mean, this is a beautiful thing. And so I want you to stretch your hands out this way this morning, and we're going to pray over them today. We're going to commit them to God. And then I want to encourage you, church, work with them. Work with them. Work with them. Work with them. And let God do what God wants to do. I'm telling you, you guys are going to be doing 5 services a week. Maybe more than that. That's just the beginning.
Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus, shine your light in. Shine your light in. Let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory.
So much this week we're ready to reach our kids this week. It's all about our children this week. VBS, if you can stay and help, 3 o'clock today, we'd appreciate it. And we will talk to you soon. Amen.
Amen.
Have a great week.